Our next guest was something special to watch on the football field. He played 316 NRL games, scored 186 tries in total, played 93 games for Manly, 75 for South Sydney. He also played for the Old North Sydney Bears, the Canberra Raiders, the St George Dragons, the Auckland Warriors, and he had a couple of stints in England. He achieved so much in the game, and he's been good enough to join us on Sunday morning. Phil Blake, good morning.
Good morning, gents. How are you?
Terrific, and thanks for joining us, Phil. When we go through that list of achievements and the clubs you played for, it's a remarkable career. And the fact you left Manly to go to South Sydney, was it? Why did that happen way back in 1987? Because you came through the juniors in Manly and you were such a star there, Phil.
When I think about it, it was a decision. It was a hard decision, obviously. It was never money-driven because back then no one was on much money, to be quite honest. But just between the club and myself, I think we just fell out of love with each other. Mm-hmm. My career had stifled there for a while. And probably at the time, I was hell-bent on, I needed to get out of there. And just to give you a quick story, like you talk about the current day player and the managers and the influence they have. Like when I left Manly, people don't realise, like I was 22 years of age. I'd been there for 5 years. I had to represent myself. And I remember, speaking with Bob Fulton and Doug Daly, going down to the office by myself and just explaining to them that... what the situation was and that I was going to leave. And the contract was there in front of me to sign. And then, but I just knew that I had to move on, for whatever reason. It wasn't one or the other reason. It was just, when I talk about that, I talk about the club and myself. I just thought at the time I needed to get out. And if I look back on it now, I probably could have got out a year or two earlier. But you didn't do that. You kind of wanted to play for your local club. Once I made my mind up, it was about finding the right club. And the right club at that stage was South Sydney for me.
Blakey, talking of South Sydney, I'll come back to your glittering career in a few moments. You played 75 games for South. You know how the club operates. What do you make of the current situation with Jason Demetriou? Should he be retained? Should he be sacked? And where to now for the Rabbitohs?
I was out there on Friday. I presented young Jai Gray his first grade jumper. Which was for me, it was a privilege. I've never done that before. So to be invited back, the environment looked very good. And I think it was, from what I saw on Friday, was a reflection of what I saw last night. They were very upbeat, led by the coach, Jason Demetriou. Never met him before. Very lovely bloke. Invited me into his inner sanctuary to watch training. And I think last night, all South supporters anyhow, just wanted to see an effort with what they saw last night. Amongst all the carnage, what happened during the week with the suspensions and on game day losing three or four players throughout the course of the course of the game. I think everyone just wanted to see them just enjoy their football, and by enjoying your football is like putting yourself out there and showing the public that you actually care. And from what I saw on Friday, as I said, and what I saw last night, I think that there were signs there that they may have turned the corner. But as we all know, you're judged by wins and not by effort. And sometimes when you give a good effort, you don't get the results. So they just need to hang tough, stay together, and work this out and try to get that first win. And once they get that first win, they'll get their second.
Yeah, well, I got back to 28-22. It was game on there deep into the second half. I asked Dino this earlier, Phil. Do you think what South's players showed last night, and they had a real dig, is it enough to save the coach's job?
Everyone knows it's a result-driven industry. I hope for Jason's sake that they give him a bit more time. Because I'm a coach, although in a different sport, and I know how hard it is. And, once the Wolves come to the door and what have you, unless you are getting results, they're relentless. So I think it's a tough game. It's a tough gig. It's easy asking questions. And been on magazine shows and picking the game or teams to bits. It's a lot harder when you're in the coalface day to day and you're living and breathing it. Mm. So for all coaches, there's always sympathy from my part. You are employed to do a job, and you are employed for the tenure of that job. And I think Jason's got a couple of years to go. But having spoken to him on Friday, he's a very determined character. He knows his football. He knows what he wants. He knows the direction of that club. And it'll be up to the people, all the powers that be, to either back him or make a decision on the future.
Blakey, you've coached at the highest level in rugby union. Obviously, you played as a star in rugby league. Do you think too much emphasis is put on the coach in situations like these, Blakey? It's like, we're not winning, let's just sack the coach. Mm. Or should it be spread a bit more evenly around the club?
Dino, when you sign up for these jobs as a head coach, unfortunately, at the end of the day, it comes back on yourself. I think if it was only this season, the results this season, I think they would let it ride, and I think he'd get the opportunity to turn this around. I suppose, from a club point of view, this started, probably around 12 last year. Mm. So it's not an easy one. One or two things will happen. The board will back him and believe in him and give him the time to turn things around, or otherwise, they won't. I just hope, as I said, being a coach, I just hope they give him time, but, time will tell. And I suppose it's a very crucial time now, because they do have the bye next week. So it'll be kind of watch this space over the next 48 hours.
Blakey, what are you doing with yourself now? You were at the Queensland Reds. I assume you'd like to continue coaching, and would you ever come back to rugby league if given a chance?
I've been in rugby now for a while, Dino, as you well know. But you know what? If I would love to get back into rugby league. I played a little bit of it. I was part of the South when they got reinstated, but the timing wasn't right there, and I took another path for a while. But I am looking for coaching jobs, and whether it be league or union. But I'm not getting any younger, and I would love an opportunity to be part of a club back in rugby league. I think it'd be a nice way for myself to finish whenever that is, finish my coaching career.
What about the modern game, Phil? The ball's in play a lot these days, isn't it? It's the tempo of the games is so quick. Would you have liked to have played football in the modern era, given the tempo of and the speed of the game now?
I'd certainly like the ball in my hand after on the 12th or 13th tackle.
Exactly. They're getting a bit tired by then.
By the time they get the six again. Yeah. I'm not thinking of the six again. There's a rule I didn't even know existed last night when I'm watching the game, and it was like, what was it? Interference by oncoming defensive jumpers. I don't know what they call it.
Me on the spot here. They got a special word for it. I'll think of it. It's when a player comes through to catch a bomb that his team has put up,
and he jumps
in the air, and does he actually compete for the ball? Oh, I don't like the rule, because it's an interpretation, and it's the referee.
If his
eyes
on the ball, isn't he going for it?
Well, the referee shouldn't have the ability to think what the player is thinking.
If your eyes on the ball, Phil, aren't you going for the ball?
Well, even if your eyes isn't off the ball, the one criteria is that you don't interfere or take the person out in the air. But if an outside back wants to run through and jump in the air and do handstands to try to put you off, I can't see that being a penalty. It's still up to the person attempting to take the football to get it. Like, all rights goes to the person in the air first, usually. Mm. Yeah. So if he gets in the air, he's committed, he'll come down to it. So having played fullback occasionally, what have you, it wouldn't worry me if someone just ran through and put his hands in the air. I'm committed to that football, not really worried about someone coming through inadvertently trying to get in the path of the ball. because I know if I'm in the air, the referee will protect me and he can't take my legs out. He can't interfere. But all of a sudden, they got this rule now where you can't even do that. I just sitting there was kind of, as Rex Moss would say, I was flabbergasted.
Hey, Blakey, take us back to 1981, 82, 83. You're a genuine boy wonder. You're a superstar player. You had the famous Chip and Chase. You're on TV ads. Life was very good for you, but you're also very, very young, weren't you?
Yeah, I just left school, Dino, and within kind of having watched all these guys on the hill, and I had my brother down there who was playing, so I kind of not really knew them, but I was down there watching it all. Then all of a sudden, within 6 months of leaving school, you're down there part of it, playing at 3 o'clock. Life changed very quickly, football-wise anyhow. We had some good years there. It was unfortunate that we couldn't get over the line, particularly in 83. I think we only lost 3 or 4 games that year. But let me just say that Parramatta side of 81, 2 and 3 was a pretty good side, and you could put them up as one of the greatest sides of all time. So disappointing for us at Manly, but... they were fantastic years, you know, everyone worked, I was only telling this story to the boys, when you find out that you're actually playing first grade, like, there was no phone call on, Monday or Tuesday during the course of the day. You had to go down Brookvale Oval, and outside the old sheds, there'd be a corkboard, there'd be a piece of paper, and the three sides would be just there in print. So that's how you found out you were playing first grade.
It's so much different, isn't it? It's a professionalism.
Like presenting the jumper to Jai on Friday, like I was kind of jealous because, they're sitting in a nice, beautiful theatreette and mum and dad are there and I was just thinking, wow. Yeah. Compared to when we found out, like you found out from a piece of paper on a corkboard, you went and trained and that was kind of it.
Yeah, he played well, young Jai, too. He's not the biggest kid in the world, but he runs the ball at a million miles an hour. He played well. Just on that point then, and the point that Dean raised, Phil, about your Chip and Chase, which you were so famous for, the professionalism of the modern era, the players talk about structures and playing to systems. Ad-lib footy doesn't often come into play. If you were coaching the NRL, would you tell a gifted player who was... an exponent of the Chip and Chase to back himself at more often, or?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There are times in the game, and I know it's changed, but there are times in the game where I see fifth tackle options where they could just pass the ball, take 30 metres, put a kick on the end of it, just keep doing something different. Sides will do that when they're chasing the game towards the back end of the game, but they won't do it in the first 60 minutes. Yeah, so some of those kicks from the 40, 45, they could take that short edge. You got a fullback, two wingers, a centre on a soft edge. You could just pick them off. You could get down to the 22 and put a grubber in behind. You could put the one thing by running the football, the back three will have to change their mindset. Do I come up? Where do I have to go? So you're kind of holding them accountable and seeing how they react on the back of it. And it's definitely, there's definitely times in a game I see it and I think, okay, there's a defensive line and there's 50 metres to the back three. And I'm thinking, gee, there's a lot of space. Yeah, there's
a lot of work well here.
Yeah, absolutely. I know there's a consequence to everything you do on the football field, but geez, there's opportunities to just get the ball in over the top of the big boys in around the middle there. You'd be the first one to the ball. Again, you don't see it that often. I don't profess to say that you have to play it all the time, but there's opportunities to play a bit more ad-lib football. But the game's changed, the coaching's changed, because it's all about the territory, isn't it? Yeah, they want to play territory, have you? But, a little bit of the old could still be part of the new, I reckon.
Now, Blakey, you don't know this. When I was a young kid, I used to go to Brookie Oval and I'd run on the field and I'd grab the corner flag and then I'd play touch footy on the field with whoever was playing touch footy.
Yeah.
And there was a day when I was playing touch footy against a bloke who was a young Philip Blake.
Oh, really?
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I remember it quite well.
Wow.
I actually showed you up that day and embarrassed you a bit, but they chose the wrong bloke when they wanted to grade players at Manly.
Yeah, well, remember, like, you used to line down there, like, you'd get in between the seats and the corners to get that corner
flag. Yeah, you just have to...
Yeah, yeah.
And then well, if you got it, you were just the target of about 28 blokes.
Oh, you just got
jump on you.
Yeah, yeah. And then look, they stopped the clock 5 minutes out, remember? So you had to get there early. And there'd be 20 kids in each corner. And if you went home, you might have... Because they were kind of a cardboard cylinder. Yeah, stuck in the corner.
That's
there.
Right.
So, you might have been the first one to get the whole corner flag or post. But I tell you, by the time the other kids got hold of you, you were lucky to get 3 inches of it back home. But
ripped apart.
Everyone be ripping it, tearing it. Yeah.
Hey, Blakey, just before you go, Fitzy's just texted in. Morning, boys. I was ball boy for the Raiders, and I ran up to Phil after a game to meet him, and he was the nicest, most obliging bloke I've ever met. He was a superstar in my eyes. He still have. Plenty of fans out there, Philip.
Yeah, no, fantastic. I'll have to tell Dad stop writing into these days.
Hey, don't forget, you took my place in that Manly side too. That was my spot.
It'll never leave it down. Yeah. Hey, Phil, really appreciate you coming on a Sunday morning. It's great to take a walk down memory lane. Enjoy the footy this afternoon, and thanks for joining us on Big Sports Breakfast weekend.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.